The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Let's start today's show by talking a little bit about the news that Marcus Golden has passed his physical, signed his unrestricted free agent tender, and will be a member of your New York Giants for the 2020 season. Golden, of course, had 10 sacks for the Giants last year, playing on a one-year prove-it contract. After a couple of down seasons, had 12 and a half sacks in I believe it was 2016 for the Arizona Cardinals. Couple of down seasons caused by a knee injury. Comeback season for him last year, and had entered free agency expecting to find a pretty robust free agent market, expecting to find a pretty sizable contract, considering that pass rushers are usually paid a premium, especially in free agency. Golden, though, didn't find that market, and when that didn't materialize for him, when no offers materialized for him in free agency, the Giants took advantage of that with the rarely used unrestricted free agent tender, placing a value on him that is equivalent to 110% of his contract for 2019, which now that he's signed it, I believe will be $4.125 million. You know, that established a market for Golden. No other team decided to match or exceed that number. So Golden will be back. He'll join a pass rush group that includes guys he played with last year, Lorenzo Carter, O'Shane Zimenez. He'll also join a new Giant edge rusher, Kyler Fackrell, one of the free agents from the Green Bay Packers, as well as seventh-round pick Carter Coughlin, possibly sixth-round pick Cameron Brown if the Giants use him on the edge as well. So good news for the Giants that Golden is back, adds a good player to their defense. Not really what I would consider a number one pass rusher, not a guy that teams really plan for, not a guy who has to be double-teamed, but he's a good player. He's an effort player. He's a solid locker room guy. He's a solid pro. He'll be a good addition to this team. Really interesting move by the Giants. One that really speaks to a New England Patriots style move, perhaps influenced by new Giants head coach Joe Judge, who of course spent the last several seasons in New England. The Patriots, in fact, I believe were the last team to use this unrestricted free agent tender. I believe using it on LeGarrette Blount, a running back in 2017. So interesting move, hopefully pays dividends for the Giants as they try to build a better defense in 2020. Couple of notes. We get some availability from head coach Joe Judge and some of the Giants players this week. Thursday, we will get a chance to hear via Zoom video conference from quarterback Daniel Jones, defensive lineman Dalvin Tomlinson, and linebacker Blake Martinez. On Friday, we'll hear from wide receiver Sterling Shepard, defensive tackle Leonard Williams, who I know nobody has any interest at all in, and running back Saquon Barkley, another player I know nobody cares to hear from. So be looking for stories on our conversations with all of those guys, Giants fans. I know that that it's been rough sledding, you know, looking for content, looking for new things, hoping to hear from players. This week, we finally get an opportunity to do that. We'll bring you as much coverage from those press conferences, from those video conferences, I should say, as we possibly can. Yours truly will be dialed into as many of those as I possibly can, and we'll bring you you full coverage from all of those. So please remember to check out Big Blue View and look forward to those things. What I want to do right now, Giants fans, is take a quick break for a word from our SB Nation sponsors. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Ryan Dunleavy, NFL and Giants writer for the New York Post, about a wide variety of NFL and Giants-related topics. So stay tuned.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, Giants fans, I am joined now by Ryan Dunleavy, part of the outstanding staff of NFL writers at the New York Post. Ryan, thank you very, very much for spending some time with me.
Thanks for having me on, Ed.
Hey, listen, I got to start here. Is this as weird for you as it is for me? I mean, at this point in time, we'd be a week or so into training camp, we'd be knee deep in practice reports and player features and all that. And here we are both sitting at home talking to each other. This is strange for you as it is for me.
Yeah, it is. But it's been like that. You know what I mean? It was weird to cover the draft the way we did. It was weird not to have OTAs. It's been weird to call so many trainers because you don't have access to players. It's been a weird offseason start to finish. So I really honestly am not surprised to be sitting at home chomping at the bit for August 12th or 16th or whenever we get to see something that'll normally we'd be like, oh God, this is so boring, put the pads on. And instead, when they line up to run receiver drills against air, as they say, we'll be dying to see it.
Yes, we will. You know, the only thing that that's been helped so far by this whole mess, the only thing that's been helped is my golf game, because my handicap is going down.
I've heard a lot of my buddies who are NFL writers say that is that's the one place that's great for social distancing is an 18-hole golf course. But I don't golf, but I've heard quite a few of my friends have said that they've gotten much better in the last 3-4 months.
Well, it is one of the few things that you can do. So, so hey, let's talk a little football. Obviously, we've got to kind of start with the pandemic stuff and all the changes. And you know, you've been talking to some folks around the NFL and all of that. What is your general takeaway, you know, from what you've seen, from what you've heard from people on whether or not you're optimistic and whether or not the people you've talked to are optimistic that the NFL can get through a season, especially without the mess that baseball already finds itself in?
Well, that's funny, Ed. Those are two different things, right? Like, do I think they'll get through a season? Yes. Do I think they'll have some mess like baseball already does? Yes. Like, I would be surprised if every NFL game is played as scheduled for 16 weeks and then we go to playoffs and a Super Bowl on time. That would surprise me. I expect some games will have to get canceled or postponed. I expect the Super Bowl might even have to be pushed back a couple weeks. I expect they'll get through it, but you know, they'll have to adjust on the fly. Kind of baseball is getting a lot of grief, but baseball has done something I've never seen before, which is just like change the schedule midstream. Like the Yankees were supposed to play the Orioles, and all of a sudden they're playing the Phillies, and the Phillies were supposed to be here, and now they're playing this team. Like, I think the NFL might have to do some of that because I don't think it'll be smooth. Do I think they'll get through it? I do. I think they're determined, headstrong, full in a china shop about it. They think they're the smartest league, so they expect that they'll be able to do things that other leagues haven't been able to do. I think, look, really what's driving this is in an era where revenue is going to be hurt this year from no fans, TV revenue is incredibly important. And if Ed Valentine is starting at quarterback for the Lions in a Lions jersey, well, they can still sell that as a Lions game. So they don't need Matthew Stafford there to tell you that it's a Lions game. So I think that's pretty much what's going to happen is expanded rosters, deeper practice squads, more players than ever, and just kind of shuffle them through and hope everybody stays healthy and the people who aren't healthy, hope they, you know, it's minor symptoms and just keep the truck rolling.
Yeah, but you know, if I'm doing my George Plimpton for the Lions, I haven't started a game at quarterback in about 47 years now. So I think our passing attack is about 5 yards, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, they drafted a running back in the second round, so you just feed him the rock.
There, I can hand the ball off. That I can do.
Yep.
All right. So has there been any talk that you've heard? I haven't seen anything about. We're getting at a point in baseball now where it's pretty obvious that you're going to have teams ending the season with different numbers of games. What happens if we end up there with the NFL? How do they figure playoffs and all of that out?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And all along I've been asking questions of people in the NFL, and it's kind of like, we're not there yet. That's what I kept hearing all spring is like, we're not there yet. We have time. And that now you're going to get that about, like, what's the plan if this happens? What's the plan if this happens? Well, we're not there yet. But, no, I think the NFL is in a advantage there where, like, there's only 16 games you have to get through. So if that means, you know, you attack on a week to the regular season, I think I've seen reports that the Super Bowl site – where is it at? Is it Tampa this year? I think it's Tampa this year.
I believe so. I know it's the only – I know it's not Vegas, that much I know for sure.
I think it's Tampa. I think I've seen something where, like, the site is available, like, every weekend in February. So, like, it's possible that they could push it back. If they end up tacking on a week where only, you know, 6 games are played because 6 games were canceled throughout the course of the season, so there's a week 18 – of 6 random games being played while other teams basically have a bye. I think that's a very strong possibility that'll happen. They did some scheduling contingencies. I'm sure you've talked to your listeners about where, like, you know, they, all the teams have 1 home game and 1 away game in weeks 3 and 4, and they're no division games. So you could just end up lopping those 2 weeks off the schedule if you had to. So they're prepared. They've done some interesting things. Like I said, I expect they'll play all the games, but I don't expect they'll play all the games on time.
Hey, before we talk specifically about the Giants, I did have one more question. We saw, I think on Monday night, that the NFL and the NFLPA, you know, formalized some of the changes to the CBA. And the thing that really interests me and has interested me for a while is the practice squad stuff. And listen, it interests me, and I just kind of want your opinion. I've been in favor for a while. I like the idea of expanding the practice squad. I like the idea of allowing a couple of extra veteran players to be on that practice squad. And the other thing that I really, really like that they came out with is the idea that players on IR can be brought back if they're healthy after 3 weeks. I've been calling for a baseball-style sort of injured list for a long time now, because I think that you know, COVID-19 aside, I think that helps the quality of rosters at the end of seasons. It helps the quality of play. So really, I'm just looking for your thoughts on practice squad, on some of those changes that were made as to whether you like them or not.
I'm 100% on board with you on all those steps. I think the practice squad's a good thing. Football doesn't have minor leagues. Baseball does, obviously. It's really a complete baseball model. You mentioned it with IR, but the practice squad is essentially AAA. So I like expanding that. I like letting veterans on it. I've always thought it was odd that only rookies can be on that. If a veteran wants to take the practice squad, you know, minimum amount of payment, then they should be allowed to do that. Extends their careers. The IR thing, I agree. I always thought that was foolish of the NFL that you're out for the season with as soon as you're designated on IR. I thought that was silly. A couple years ago, they made it so that you could have two guys come back. Now you said, and you mentioned this 3-week rule. I think it's smarter. It makes it more of a disabled list or an injury list, as they call it in MLB now, than it does injured reserve. I think it's smarter. I think especially in this season, and I'd like to see it continue in the future. I'll give you one other thing, Ed. A lot of sports writers right now are writing, and I think I've done it too. I'm guilty of it too, that it's going to be harder than ever to make an NFL team as a fringe guy, whether you're an undrafted rookie or a guy who's bounced around for 1 or 2 years. The guys, you know, 50 to 53 to 55, it's going to be harder to get in that mix. And I've written that, and I get it. There's no OTAs, limited training camp practices, no preseason games. But one agent and one coach were in my ear this weekend saying, well, we're also going to need more guys than ever. So, yeah, it might be hard to make that first 53, but there's a much better chance we're going to set a record for the number of players who have played for us this year. Like, you know, guys opting out, guys got bigger practice squads, guys, you know, getting COVID tests on a Friday or a Saturday and getting positive. So there's a chance where our Rolodex is going to have to be deeper than ever. So you might not make that 53, but it's really true this year that your phone could ring at any point. And coaches like to say that in years past, but this year, really, I think you could see more players than ever on your team. You might not even recognize guys from week to week outside the stars.
That's a good point. You know, I feel bad for some of the undrafted guys, like the guys that the Giants cut the other day to get down to 80. But as you said, their phone might ring and at some point with teams needing players, at least to add to practice squads as the year goes on. And the other part of that is with the IR stuff, as you said, you know, I hate to see guys who are healthy by week 4, not get a chance to play.
Yeah.
You know, and then you wind up in week 12, with a guy who's been out of the league for a year and a half getting signed to play for 4 weeks, and that's a mess, and I yep. hate that. So we'll see how all of that works out. Hey, let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about the New York Giants. And obviously, by now, in a normal season, we would have seen some off-season practices. We would have seen, we would have seen probably a week of training camp. We'd have a better idea how the Giants were going to do things and maybe who was going to play where. But, you know, right now we're all sort of, you know, trying to figure that out on the fly. But really just your thoughts at this point on what you can tell about Joe Judge, the job he's done, and how you feel about, you know, maybe what you think about the idea that, you know, whether he might be the long-term answer for the Giants finally at head coach.
Well, it's impossible to know the long-term answer until you see a guy actually coach football, right? Because I think Joe Judge has done a nice job of kind of galvanizing his guys around what could be an easy to complain situation. I won class complainer in high school, so I know that I would be complaining left and right if this was me. This is unfair. We're so far behind. How do they expect us to do this? Kind of like Odell. So I would be in that boat. I also think he's done a nice job. He definitely has personnel influence. I asked him a question the other day, Ed, when Nate Solder opted out. And I said, it's freed up $13 to $16 million in cap space. Do you guys expect to be active in free agency? It's obviously a better question for Gettleman, but Gettleman wasn't available to us. So I asked Judge, and I could just hear Pat Shurmur, and this isn't a knock on Pat Shurmur, this is what most coaches would do, say like, oh, I don't pay attention to that stuff. You guys know more about the salary cap than I do. I just coach these guys. And Joe Judge is like, no, we don't feel like we have money burning holes in our pockets. He's involved in the personnel building of this team. I think that's a good thing. I think you want your coach involved in that. As a special teams coach, he is good at evaluating players. So I like everything he's done so far. To say he's a long-term coach, you don't know, because, you know, if he's punting on fourth and one from the opponent's 35 like Todd Bowles, he's going to get run out of town. So you just don't know how a guy is going to be on game day until you actually see him. But I like everything he's done behind the scenes and CEO-wise.
It's an interesting point that you raise about his involvement in personnel, because I've had kind of the same feeling that a lot of things that have been done, you know, have been done, and maybe not because he demanded them or asked for them, but with his influence. And I'm wondering, you know, I love the Marcus Golden move for the Giants, you know, bringing him back on the 1 year unrestricted free agent tender. And I don't know if that was a Dave Gettleman move, a Joe Judge thing,
yeah,
or
that's straight out of the Patriots playbook. And what they did to LeGarrette Blount a couple years ago, and no one had ever even heard of it. You know,
right.
That's straight out of Belichick's playbook, and you know that was something Judge brought to the Giants that they had never even thought of doing. You just know that without even knowing it.
Yeah, it didn't. It doesn't sound like something that would have been in Dave's playbook. That's for sure.
No, I mean, and that's not a knock. I mean, I don't even know if other GMs knew that, or if other personnel guys knew that, or if other coaches knew that. That's not to say like, oh, Dave's, you know, a technological Luddite or whatever. That's just a very rare thing that is very rarely done. And that's why the Patriots are the Patriots. That's who they are. So I'm surprised, honestly, that I haven't seen Patricia do it with the Lions or Flores do it with the Dolphins. I think probably they dusted off something that you're going to see done more often. The one thing is, you very rarely have a player who was such a good bargain that it's worth doing it for. Like, there's no reason for the Seahawks to do that to Jadeveon Clowney, who was just coming off a franchise tag, because that's a huge number to give him the 110% salary. The thing was, if all the cards lined up for the Giants, because they had Golden, who outproduced his contract but didn't get a big offer in free agency. So it was like, oh, we got a bargain last year, we can get a bargain again.
All right. So, you know, one of the questions that I get asked all the time, so I'll kind of put it on your plate, is with COVID-19, with everything that's going on, no spring, all that, all the stuff that we know, how do you assess in 2020, how do you assess success or failure, you know, for the Giants once the dust kind of settles and once it's all said and done? You know, I look at it like it's, for me, it's really put everything else aside, and it's about answering whatever questions you can about Joe Judge and Daniel Jones. And I'm not sure it's worth it to try to figure out the rest of it at this point. But how would you really assess, you know, success or failure when it's done?
I don't know that you can grade Joe Judge this year. It's almost, to me, it's like a blank learning curve, free pass year for Joe Judge. I do think you can grade pretty much everybody else, because all the players on the Giants are on the same playing field with all the players on the day. Nobody else started workouts early. Nobody else got this in. College football, some teams got spring camp in, some teams didn't. Some teams are going to play, some teams aren't. The NFL is a level playing field. So you can grade Daniel Jones against, you know, Kyler Murray, because they're both second-year quarterbacks who had the same, you know, amount of preparation for this year. So to me, I think you can grade the players. It's a huge year for Jones if he develops, I think that's a big step forward, regardless of the win total. If Saquon Barkley stays healthy and dominates like he did as a rookie, I think that's a huge step forward. if the defense has any playmakers, any at all, if anybody on the defense is makes any kind of difference, that's a step. Because I don't know that, you know, other than Marcus Colvin, who's 29 years old and is, you know, he's a good pass rusher, but he's one dimensional. They didn't really, like, I didn't see enough from Jabril Peppers last year. I didn't see enough from Lorenzo Carter, from Leonard Williams, from Dalvin Tomlinson. I want to see more from all those guys if they're going to be building blocks and not just this crop that's going to be replaced in 2 or 3 years. I think you can grade all the players and then Gettleman. I mean, obviously, you can't just give – if the Giants are 4-12 again, you can't just throw up, Gettleman gets a pass because there was no offseason. No, that's not how it works.
Right. So the last thing that I want to talk about, and I think you're on the sort of on the front end of beginning to write and report about this. I think I saw you write about this on Tuesday morning, and that is the looming Saquon Barkley contract negotiations. And we don't know where it's going to end up. We don't know how much money is going to wind up being on the table, but just tell folks, really, I mean, are they anywhere at this point? Have they even begun talking about that? Is that kind of, you know, down the road and just, you know, something that we have to know is coming?
So the Giants know it's coming, but you can't actually, you know, and I'm doing air quotes right now if you can't see me, you can't actually legally have a contract extension with a rookie till after his third season. So that's where Jamal Adams and the Jets were, and that obviously blew up. So the Giants and Saquon can't actually talk about it till after this season. But it's going to be brought up right after this season. So Christian McCaffrey got his extension after 3 years. Todd Gurley got his extension after 3 years. Ezekiel Elliott held out for an extension after 3 years. So to think Saquon Barkley is not going to want one after 3 years is naive. So he's going to want one next season. He's not the holdout type, and the Giants really aren't the knock him out, drag him out type if they like you. They were like that with Odell Beckham, but they, you know, won't be like that, I don't think, with somebody like Saquon, who they see as their next Eli Manning, face of the franchise kind of guy. So I think next year you're looking at Saquon probably being the highest paid running back in the NFL, which is 4 years, $70 million, 4 years, $72 million, something like that. Maybe a fifth year to bump it up to $90 million, a team option there. Like, that's what you're looking at. And that eats a huge part of your salary cap space. But as I mentioned in my story on the post, in the post today and online today, there's a couple of complicating factors. Who is the GM negotiating this with Saquon? Is it Gettleman? Because if they're 4-12, it isn't going to be Gettleman. And the next GM might not be a guy who wants to pay a running back a lot of money. There are very few of those guys left who want to do that. What's the salary cap next year? Is it $175 million because of lost revenues, or is it $198 million? That's a big deal. The Giants are lucky. Daniel Jones is on a rookie contract that makes him affordable, so they can take care of Saquon before they have to pay their quarterback a lot of money. That's what the Rams did with Gurley and Goff. There's a lot of really – does Saquon stay healthy? If he only plays 10 games this year, he's going to have a hard time getting a big contract after 3 years. And then there's the factor, right? Gurley was a disappointment after signing his contract. Devonta Freeman was a disappointment. There's a LeSean McCoy signed one. Jury's out on Zeke and McCaffrey. Derrick Henry just signed one. So teams keep giving big contracts to running backs, even though the results keep saying, you probably don't want to do this. The Giants aren't really going to have a choice. Everyone I talked to around the NFL, I made a dozen calls. Everybody says the Giants and Saquon are headed towards a long, amicable partnership because they made that decision when they drafted him number two overall. That wasn't a 3-4-5 year decision. That was an 8-9 year decision.
That's the way they build it. That's the way that they sold it. And really, I think you're absolutely right. I think they're headed to that kind of a partnership. We'll just see if it pays off for the Giants long-term. Hey, Ryan, really appreciate your spending some time with me. I know you, I believe you have your own podcast these days, and I know you're at the Post and all of that. So why don't you tell folks where they can find all of your work and where they can chat with you online if they don't already know.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, obviously me, Paul Schwartz, Mark Canizero, Steve Serby, got, you know, strong Giants. We'll have a strong Giants presence every day. Be there as often as possible, as allowed. And we still find plenty of content even when we're not there, right? So the NY Post Twitter account, NY Post Sports Twitter account, my Twitter account's at R-Y Dunleavy, R-Y-D-U-N-L-E-A-V-Y. Instagram, same handle, nypost.com. That's where all your Giants coverage will be. And hopefully you and I will be standing 6 feet apart on a sideline at a practice sooner or later.
Sooner or later, wearing a mask, of course.
Of course. Of course.
All right. Hey, appreciate it. Thank you much. And like you said, hopefully I'll be seeing you in a week or so.
Sounds good, Ed. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. Thank you all, as always, for listening. Please remember to stay safe out there. Wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance whenever you can. Do everything that you can to keep yourself and those around you healthy. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.